Here, I'm going to tap light.
Yeah, the last time.
A meeting is called to work. Okay. But we have issues. Okay. So, I call the meeting to order. Paulette, if you'd lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Veterans, you may salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to
miss
that. Yes, we are.
I know.
We are. When I came into the SCAC, Tony was the chair of the organization. I was counting on my fingers, and I think that was at least, I think that was close to 15 years ago.
Wow.
You know, the average firm for someone in our organization is 10 years and they burn out for the most part, or something occurs in their life that they're no longer able to participate. And then there's the others of us that seem to be able to hang on indefinitely. I turned my head because I wasn't looking at Elizabeth. I didn't want her to, you know, see.
Well, I'm not looking at anyone in particular, Elizabeth.
Okay, roll call, Elizabeth.
Okay, Tony Alvarado.
I'm here.
Elizabeth Music here. Colette Chininsky.
Here.
Meredith Chalini.
Absent. She called, is in, I think, in Sacramento, out of town.
And Scott Fay, absent. Elaine Genoway, he'd be absent. Ken Hagman. Marianne Flinger, here. Beck Levin. Robin Nelson, John Pointer,
here.
Tony Rodella. Now he's absent, but he told us last
year he's no longer part of
that he's no longer part of
a retired one.
Right. Well, no, his last general meeting he said would be November. Yeah. So he'll be here at the general meeting.
Yes.
But okay. He told us last month that he would not be coming anymore.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So he really shouldn't be absent. He should be
gone. Checks out.
Check out.
He's retired.
Yes.
Don't say that at my age.
Okay. Dave Jetsoff.
Here.
Okay. Oh.
Hey.
So we have a quorum.
Yes. And we have one guest, a perennial guest. Would you stand up and introduce yourself again, please?
Hi, everyone. My name is Myung Cho. I represent Irvine City Council.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
What, Dave?
Have him sit up here. It feels
sure. Well, Okay. Public comments. Seeing no request to have make a comment, I'm going to move on. Presentation. California Senior Legislature update. I've handed out to each of you a summary of the current bills. Excuse me, I always say bills. Current proposals that the CSL is considering during its annual session on 24, 25, 26 October. The handout also includes a reference to the MPA on the far right-hand corner. Those are the five goals of the MPA. Now, I don't claim those are 100% accurate.
This
document right here.
Oh,
Elizabeth's right hand. Okay. In the far right-hand corner.
Oh.
Okay. Far right-hand corner is an MPA.
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is my, after I've read it, this is my pigeonholing of it. Someone else could quibble in, well, rather than one, it could be two or this kind of thing. I don't claim they're 100% accurate, but it's a effort to give you an idea of where our emphasis is this year. In the last couple of years, we've been heavily represented in goal number two. And I'll share that in my JRC report that I distribute to all the CSL members later this week. So it's a good indicator. And it gives us, again, reinforces the fact that we're looking at the legislative proposals in the context of the master plan for aging. I've also distributed is this document. This is our legislative report. We call it the red, white, and blue because it's got a red and blue trim and it's on white paper. And it provides you with the list of bills, list of proposals that were picked up by the second Friday in February by a legislator. If your proposal isn't picked up by then, you're going nowhere. Start over again and look at next year. So these also reference what was the original legislative proposal and who that CSL author was. Now, we published this twice. Ideally, because of the link in the far right-hand column that is underlined, you have the ability to check on the status of that bill at any time by simply clicking on the link, and it will take you to Ledge Info. Ideally, Janice doesn't have to generate this on a monthly basis like we did a couple of years ago. And as soon as it was published, it was out of date because something changed. Now you have instantaneous access to what the status of that particular bill is. So as you look at this, you'll see there's some issues there are pretty topical. We were pretty farsighted in terms of wildfires. That issue has exploded. and there was a presentation coordinated by Congresswoman Dixon and Supervisor Foley and Assemblymember Davies, as well as State Senator Catherine. Sorry, I'm getting old and I'm forgetting. You know who I mean?
Yeah.
Starts with an S, I think, or something like that. But anyway.
She's one of, I should say.
Yes. Who was the mayor, I believe.
Yes.
At one time as well.
Thanks. Yeah.
So they brought Insurance Commissioner Lara to the presentation. Well, no offense, but he did a pretty good dog and pony show. But there was a lot of dancing, too. In that process.
Catherine Blakespear,
former mayor of the city of, I think it was Oceanside, Carlsbad, one or the other. So again, my point was wildfires is definitely on the radar, certainly from the standpoint of insurance. And what we also did was create a proposal around a tax credit similar to what you get for installing solar energy, solar cells on your home. We built it around building hardening your property. They refer to it where you make improvements that increase the protection of your home. The insurance companies also are providing a credit, I'll call it credit or deduction, on your policy if you do those kinds of acts. The credit is more symbolic than it is actually a huge amount of money. But it allows them to be able to say, I'm attempting to work with you, help you to improve your property. So that did not get out of appropriation. Okay. So it was significantly changed, and I have to commend Assemblymember Connolly because they stood their ground. They were told if you put it in a grant format, we'll consider it. If you keep coming to us with this tax credit, we're not going to do that. Said forget it. Well, he didn't say it in those terms, but he stuck to his gun. So we're back to square one. It became a two-year bill. Attention, always note this. So it never got out of the House of Origin. The House of Origin is the Assembly. So it's a two-year bill. If it doesn't get out of the Assembly by January, it's gone. Okay? So, and I haven't seen a lot of activity, so we'll see. And the mood is getting darker because, you know, we just faced $31 billion deficit. So the mood for providing tax credits is a little dark right now. And the deficit climate is projected to continue through 2026. So, ouch. Not the climate you want to be in when you're trying to promote a tax credit kind of situation. And the insurance piece was that, and this was focused entirely on seniors. The only people that the tax credit and the insurance provisions were targeting were seniors. And the issue there was we don't believe you should be able to cancel the insurance, home insurance for a senior living in a area designated as high risk or wildfire area. And we don't believe your insurance premium should be able to go up more than 25%. Actually, there's a provision that says you can't, I think it's something you can't raise it more than 5%. But anyway, that did not become a two-year bill. Instead, that was basically said, well, we're going to study it. So I was able to attend the Laguna Niguel meeting and corner Commissioner Lara's senior assistant and bent his ear for a little while. And so we'll see where this goes. That's just one example on here. The other provisions, health care coverage for medical transport. We think, or at least we thought, the issue around grandparents and custody or adoption, we thought that would be huge. You talk to the education experts, it's a significant problem. And yet, it got hung up in appropriations with the claim, well, it was going to cost money to conduct the study. Okay, well, what doesn't cost money in the process? So that was disappointing. SB 657 made it to the governor's desk. That was homeless staff services training, require the council to coordinate with the California Continuums of Care and the area agencies on aging to partner in their shared regions to provide gerontology training for homeless services staff. Costs money, the governor claims. Rejected. Veto. As I was telling Dave and Tony, the only CSL bill that made it to the governor's desk and was signed was AB 559. Okay, that is the tax checkoff or voluntary contribution fund we participate in, and we were asking to be continued for another 7 years, I believe it is. So up until the 2031 tax season. So it passed. And it passed with no minimum contribution. We haven't been able to meet the minimum contribution level since about 2015.
John, who is the sponsor?
Her name was Bonner Horowitz.
Oh,
okay. It's now Bonner. Yeah, it's now Bonner. She got divorced and went back to her very.
But that would pass. That one on the personal income tax contribution passed.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Mary. That was huge. Okay. That allows us to continue our funding of our advocacy program.
John, how much are we getting from that, like last year?
So in its heyday, I think we hit about $311,000 right now. In 2021, I think it was $145,000. I'm projecting we may hit $110,000 this year. The economy has a lot to do with donations, and I think we're going to take a hit in regards to that. So it'll tank for a while, and then I think once the economy picks up, it'll take off again. So, and then as just a reminder, we are a dual-funded organization. What does that mean? So we're a state agency. So we were funded out of donations for years until 2018, 2019. We realized the ship was sinking. So we proposed a two-track funding system, which involved the general fund and the tax checkoff. The tax checkoff is used by us to fund our advocacy efforts. You're not going to, although there are some people that promoted the idea, we didn't think the legislature in total would fund the advocacy, or if you're outside of government, lobbying efforts from a general fund, taxpayer dollars. The tax checkoff is donations that are collected through the tax form and distributed to us semi-annually. So that's a different animal than taking your tax dollars and saying, I'm going to lobby for or advocate for a particular bill. So, and our other argument was you shouldn't be funding a state employee out of donations. I think that lit up the sky. So yeah. I think that the light bulb went off there. It worked. So we were able to achieve a dual funding source or system as a result of that. And that was a sea change for us. Huge, huge sea change for us. Okay. We promoted ageism as another issue. This is an excellent place to stop and say, let me just remind you how our legislative process works. So remember, we were originally created in the early 80s to be a mirror image of the legislature. So we have an assembly, we have a Senate. I'm referred to as the joint chair. There's a rules committee kind of thing. We have policy committees that are closely similar to what would occur in the assembly or the Senate. And we then meet in the Capitol, historically in the Senate and Assembly chambers, to participate in a much smaller version of a legislative session. There are policy committees that meet, and the proposals work their way through the policy committees and are voted on, and then they move to the floor, either the Senate or the Assembly, and then to a joint session where there are 10 legislative priorities are voted on. And that's what we then promote and seek authors by the second week in February. So it's a much smaller version, but again, we were, as the executive branch reminded me many times when I was seeking their assistance on funding my organization or our organization, you're an animal or a product of the legislature. You need to be over there, okay? I'm not your funding source. Thank you. I've been there. Thank you. I'll go back and try again. So interesting, but it's extremely, we have a very strong bond with the legislature as a result of the fact that we were in essence created by them 43 years ago.
What's your budget job each year?
So I'll answer it this way. We receive an appropriation, a continuous appropriation of about $300,000 each year. We're using about 2/3 of that. And then on the tax checkoff, we receive anywhere between $100,000 and $125,000 or $140,000.
Okay.
So the office is funded out of the general fund. Now, the fact that we haven't been able to travel in 3 years has significantly diminished the amount of money we spend in any given year. The tax checkoff is used to fund the annual session, normally a 3-day affair. And also our training that we conduct. And in part, if we were to attend the senior rally day, probably be funded by that as well. So we have one permanent employee and we have 120 CSL members that represent the 80 assembly members and 40 senators. So we are at, okay, I think this is right, 27 senators and 40 assembly members at this point. So we're experiencing the same problems, the Rotary, the Chamber, and the AAAs are experiencing. It's becoming more and more difficult to find volunteers that want to participate. That's where we're at this point. So I was talking about the legislative process and how we mirror the legislature. And what I want you to remember is that from January to June, CSL members are working on legislative proposals that they will submit to CSL headquarters by the middle of June. Those are then transmitted to Ledge Council. Ledge Council takes our proposal and puts it in a bill format that enables us to then go back to the legislature and say, I've got a proposal here. It's in a bill format. It's ready to go. I'm looking for you to author this. They have to make that decision by February. And then the committee and chamber process begins with the legislature, where there are policy committee hearings and where then there are also votes taken in the respective Senate or Assembly chamber and also a joint session as well. So, I may be interacting. So let me use this. Dave is authoring a proposal on confidential marriages. So we've been working on that 8 months.
Yeah.
Okay. To get it into a bill format that the CSL will come together in October to vote on. We will then, let's say it makes the top 10, we will then attempt to find an author to promote that or author sponsor that bill. And that legislative process begins then in March through the middle of August before they go on recess. And that's the process of attempting to get that bill passed. There are two important things to remember. You can get out of the legislature. That's no guarantee you're going to get out of the governor's office with an approved bill or a signed bill. It's like two different worlds.
John,
so,
over the past several years, over the past 3 years, how many bills came out of CSL to the governor's desk that got signed and chaptered into law?
So last year, six, I'm going by memory now, six made it to the governor's desk, three were signed into law. This year, two made it to the governor's desk, and one. The year before last year, I think it was, again, two. Pauline, that actually got signed by the governor. So it's like a pyramid. So down at the bottom, we start with, this year we've got almost 20. There have been years when we've had 50. Mm-hmm. Legislative proposals that are voted on by the CSL in October. That then becomes 10. And that 10 then either remains 10 or less when picked up by the legislature. And then it gets even smaller as it makes it. So the first challenge is, can you get to the governor's desk? And then the next challenge is, what's the economic climate or fiscal climate?
Could be priority too.
Yeah.
So I've kind of noticed that, and just keeping track myself of kind of senior bills over the past like 4 or 5 years, and the support for them, even when they is slowly, it's like throwing a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's lots of other issues, granted. There are other generations, granted, that are in need of funding, but the priority has certainly shifted away from, I think, the senior population, which is very, very unfortunate.
In my world, I think there were critical stakeholders in the senior community. Justice and Aging is an organization that's nationwide, but has offices in Sacramento and is a significant proponent of senior issues as well as low income issues. Then there is the state organizations. There is the commission, California Commission on Aging, which is basically made up of, I think it's 10 to 15 commissioners that are appointed through the governor's office, construct policy, write white papers,
mm-hmm.
promote certain legislation. The first time I've actually seen the commission in years actually generate a proposal that turned into a bill was the Bagley-Keene proposal. Okay, that's the real...
You're taking that up, aren't you?
I'm taking the Brown Act.
Brown Act.
Yes. And then there is C4A. C4A is basically the organization that was created by the AAAs to be their voice. It's a nonprofit, so you don't get in the crosshairs with your supervisors that says, I'm taking a position, but the supervisors may not agree with that. They have a nonprofit that basically speaks for them. And they're heavily involved in issues around funding and programs associated with the C4A. And there's something called the Collaborative. That's the short name for California Collaborative for Long-Term Services and Support. Now you see why they just refer to it as Collaborative. The Collaborative is a association of 60 or more state and nonprofit organizations that focus on long-term services and support. They were closely aligned with SCAN for years. SCAN has taken a step back and they're seeking new funding sources now. Sort of reminds me of CSL. And so they're another very, very influential organization in the state of California. They do not generate a lot of legislation. They're more in the process of advocating for certain legislation and letters of support. That kind of same thing with the C4A. There's not a lot of legislation coming out of them. It's more letters of support. And we need to continue the funding of this, 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 and this kind of thing. So the there used to be another organization, and it was referred to as the Congress. It ran into funding issues and is no longer in existence. So the organization that generates the most legislation is CSL. The organizations, basically everybody else, is rallying around a specific piece of legislation they were able to get a legislator to write, or the legislator came up with that and they're supporting that. Kind of. We're the rare breed of individual that can actually physically walk in and give them a what a bill will look like on this particular topic. So that's the legislative process, and that's the organizations that are in the state. We have a federal, I'll call it mission. There are bills that we have promoted that are federal in nature. Basically, that involves finding a congressman or senator, congressperson or senator, that would pick up this issue. We haven't had a great deal of success with that. And it's challenging to try and maintain a federal and a state role when you're a state-funded organization.
And you can't afford the lobbying.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's a fine line. We're not very heavily involved with that. I've tried to interact with some organizations on a federal level, like, what is it, NARF? And that kind of thing. They have a large legislative organization within their system, but I haven't been able to get much response to that. So we're pushing forward on the state process. What questions do you have?
Could the legislature override? I mean, if the governor doesn't sign it, that's like a pocket veto, right?
Could the when you look at the ledge info and you take a look at SB 657, and across the top, there are little tabs you can click on that say vote, history, status, revised text, and that kind of. An analytical comment or something like that. Analysis. Yeah. I think so. Click on history, you'll say governor vetoed, sent back to the Senate.
Yeah.
Okay. Now theoretically they could try to override the governors. I haven't seen that. In my world, I haven't seen that. It goes back there, but I think it's ceremonial in nature. But yes, theoretically it could be sent back, and you know, they could attempt to override the veto. They're not going to do it for a CSL bill, I don't think.
And that requires 2/3, right?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. So the chances are even slimmer in regards to that. What other questions do we have?
Holly asked a question about the money. And you said, well, that CSL gets. You said 2/3 was used. Was that used for the annual
meeting? So that's the general fund.
Yeah.
That's the general fund that funds Janice, funds travel for the JRC, paper, printing, a copy machine breaks down, computer blows up. Typically the administrative aspects of CSL. So where we're at right now is, since we're not traveling, we've probably burned about 50 to around 50, I'll say, thou on travel with JRC. Takes about, so what we would do, now remember, originally in the good old days, they would come in overnight, stay at the Vagabond, have a meeting at the in the conference room with the Vagabond, and then travel home the next day. So 2 nights, 3 days. So you're probably, and you know, that's 10 people plus two. I'll stick at 10, it's easier. So let's say $500 to fly in, 95, 96 for the government rate, 2 nights. So let's write that up 100. So maybe 750 for each person. Okay, so 7,500 per day, you know, 15 grand, 2 nights, you know, a little bit higher. So you're required to have X number of meetings during the course of the year. So, you know, it doesn't take long to start burning up money.
Does your funding continue over to the next year if you don't spend it?
Only on the tax checkoff. The general fund, use it or lose it.
Oh, that's just wrong.
I agree.
That is just totally wrong.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep.
Wow. Yep. Wow. Because you're not going to be able to, I mean, how are you going to? Not be able to accumulate much funding then at that point, especially given the history of the past 2 years with COVID and everything, you know, not coming out. You know,
let's remember at the point in time when that was passed and signed by the governor, we were at the edge of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
We had been living on temporary funding for 2 years. That's not indefinite, and we were beginning to become significantly concerned. Because if you lose Janice, you're in significant trouble. We have, during my tenure, we have attempted to manage that by using what they refer to as retired annuities. Oh my God. Try and run an organization on people who have retired and been gone for 5 or 10 years. Well, the world's fiscal is what they use to manage their procurement and finances. Well, that wasn't around when they retired. Okay, so they had to try and learn that. So anyway, long story short, not a pretty picture. So,
Ken had a question.
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, I was just wondering how to communicate some of this to the senior centers that we're working with. This is what this group is doing, current issues. Is there any information or?
So what are we doing in regards to communicating?
I know we can communicate it because I didn't know the things that you're saying, what they're doing. Is there a newsletter web page or something that they can?
We have a web page. It's for the number 4, csl.org.
It's on
or csl.numbers.
It's on there on the bottom.
Okay. So, I mean, does this group have an outreach, a community outreach? Do they tell the senior communities what?
So, again, we're a structure that mirrors a legislature. Each of our members are elected. They are independent contractors. They come from all walks of life. They are engaged in their community in a variety of ways. Some are actively, in fact, a very large majority are actively involved in the AAA. Some are involved in the, and therefore, like this organization, involved with the senior centers. In Los Angeles, we have a member who coordinates the senior centers. Now, allegedly, there's over 200 senior centers in Los Angeles. I can't verify that. Nobody will give me a spreadsheet that actually showed. I've come up with close to 50, maybe 75, but I haven't been able to find 200. But I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just probably got poor access to information. So that, but we do not coordinate with. It's got to be 500 senior centers in the state. What we do is we interact with the AAA directors on a recurring basis. We provide them with the CSL advocate.
Oh, sorry, right there. I see. Yeah.
Okay. So we provide them with the CSL advocate. CSL Advocate, it's a our newsletter. Now, it doesn't have Barry's birthday was on, you know, Sunday, or, you know, Barry visited Disneyland. Ours is focused exclusively on legislation. Our legislation and every... Okay, this is take this with a grain of salt. Every bill in the legislature that is involved with seniors. So I've only found one person so far that's even close to being able to say that statement. This is predicated on what Justice and Aging is tracking. Justice and Aging is pulling together a what they call a MPA legislative committee. And those people are the source of legislation. That's not the be-all, but it's a significant part. So we track that in here as well and give you the status of each bill as it makes its way through the legislature. Yeah. We've made you aware of the our red, white, and blue report. This tracks CSL bills, but it also gives you a summary of what legislation we've generated letters of support on. So that may not be our piece of legislation, but we still think that's a darn good bill. We're going to generate a letter of support, which has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. So it used to be a paper exercise that, you know, each committee was submitted a piece of paper every time that bill showed up. Now all you have to do, for the most part, there's still a couple of mavericks out there in different committees, that you just go on and use the e-portal system they've created. You input your letter of support once, and it's like glue. It is affixed to that bill and follows through every committee. The key is to try and get in there early so that, you know, your letter of support's shows up earlier rather than later. So that's the extent. Historically, I've attended the C4A executive board meeting when they meet at in Los Angeles. Now they moved it up to San Jose. We interact with the AAA C4A Ledge Committee. And the executive director. We're inviting C4A, the commission, the collaborative, Justice and Aging, and CDA to our afternoon session on the 31st to tell us, so what's your vision about 2024? Well, what is going to be your emphasis and focus? Here's ours. That spreadsheet I gave you, here's ours. And it's going to be smaller. And what overlap do we have, and how do we work together? But we're pretty high level. We're not able to, at the headquarters level, interact down into the grassroots. That's what the CSL membership is all about. And everybody does it a little differently.
CSL?
It's California Senior Legislature.
I didn't know about all these things. I know that the people I interact with my senior center, I don't think they're aware of it either. Is that newsletter available that I can get?
I sent it to every AAA.
Could he sign up as John? He could sign up as a friend of CSL. Yeah. You can go onto our website, sign up as a friend of CSL, and you would then continue to receive the material that will be available to any CSL member.
Including the advocate.
Including the what?
The
is that what that's called? The advocate?
Yeah, the advocate.
So that would be a good way to get involved.
Yeah. And so this bill.
So one last piece. So then also what we attempt to do is promote the organization by attending events. I was down in San Diego for Parkinson. And
the summit. You want to go to the summit at the end of the month?
Yes.
I'm going to try. I may just, you know, have a board over me and with a these handouts here, and they just peel them off. We'll see.
You can tag that. You can stand there. No, I checked. So, yes, you are more than welcome to share a space at our table.
Right. I won't take up much room. I'll be over where the end is. Okay. So we use these to, again, communicate what we're doing. So this is a trifle that talks about the entire organization. And then this is something that summarizes our legislative successes over the past decade. So it went to 2022. So we have some work to do for 2023 to update it. And we'll probably wait to see what 2024 is before we go to the expense again. But it gives you an idea of what we've done.
So this tax credit, this is something that people are going to check on their tax return?
Yes.
And has that been happening in the past?
So there, if you're familiar with the Form 540, there is a place on there for certain tax credits, depending on what programs are being promoted. We're advocating, it didn't go anywhere. We're advocating that people, seniors that live in high-risk wildfire areas, be given a tax credit to improve their property, clearing brush, those kinds of things. Now, we were advocating, I think it was something like 20 grand, I think. That was cut back to four. Mm-hmm. So you can't exceed more than 4,000 in total, and you only get 400. Well, there's not a lot you can do with 400 improving your property. You might be able to do it for 400.
And then for clearing landscape?
Yeah. Yeah,
so that's key to something.
So in my housing tract, you can see the association on the hillside contracting with a landscaping organization with a backhoe working the hillside, clearing all of the brush aside. So that would be one thing. Now, that individual homeowner isn't going to be able to take that because the association charge them for that or ate the expense or jack their HOA fees or whatever.
But there's a lot of other people that could use it.
Yeah.
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 So because I do a volunteer tax AARP to seniors.
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
Which office?
Well, we do the Tustin Senior, the Senior Center around here, Irvine Senior Center. So, but I've never heard of this.
Tony and I think know who the at least she was in charge. Audie, I think, was in charge.
Yeah, she's resigned. Audie's resigned.
But the checkup is under what name, though? It's not under.
I work with Audie.
Yeah.
Never will.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've never been made aware of this. But in the 540, that's a state form. It hasn't been for the last 5-6 years, right?
This
box checking. It says retroactive, too.
So, so you're now talking about the voluntary.
Yes.
The voluntary contribution fund, or we refer to as tax checkoff. I think it's on page 3 or 4 of the 540. You are given the opportunity, depending on whether you're, you know, using a standard deduction or whether you're just using the Form EZ, to make a donation to a series of organizations
that apply to get on there. The Cancer Society, Breast Cancer, SAVE, I think it's the SEAL.
Okay, yeah. I've seen that.
The State Forest organization. So there's a list of them. I think it got as high as 28 at one time. I think it's down to 20.
And this is in there?
Yeah, it's in the middle.
But it's not listed as California senior legislature.
No,
it's listed as
senior citizen. So it starts off with senior citizen voluntary tax contribution. I think I can get the information for you.
That would be good for people to know.
Yeah.
Because the way you were talking there, I would be looking, if I was looking on that form, I'd be looking for California senior legislature.
Right. No, it's not.
Yeah.
California senior citizen advocacy fund. I'll give this to you.
Okay.
Okay.
So
it's referred to as code 438.
Okay.
Okay. It's in the middle. So at one time in our heyday, we were number two in the list.
48? Code 48.
Code 438.
438.
And anytime you make a change, whether you change the name or you fall off, you go to the bottom. And you got to work your way up. And there is a lot of turnovers on that thing.
Okay.
So we crawl back from near the bottom to about the middle. And I don't think you can get much higher on it because there's a group there that have been entrenched in there for a long time.
Based on the California forms, not the federal.
Correct.
State.
Okay. I don't ask about that because the AARP's tax aid program is an IRS federal program. So their software may not be doing this. So I can.
So
I can.
Just an FYI.
For California.
So at one point, I reached out because I had some knowledge. I reached out to the enrolled agents in California and asked them to promote code 438. Well, that's preferential. We can't do that.
I also
reached out to AARP and said, can I put a flyer inside the a poster inside the tax preparation office? Oh, no, that's preferential treatment. Can I put it outside the office? Okay, where it's a public, it's a public hallway. No, you can't do that. That's
interesting. It has never come up.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, there. It's word of mouth. It's a struggle to spread the word.
Now I'm curious. I have to go home and look through the software to see if it's even an option.
So we went to TurboTax, try and say the same thing. You know, can we put stuff in your a stuffer in your the so the if I were the breast cancer organization or the American Cancer Society, you bet they know who their base is. They know who their donors are, right? So they're sending information out to them. I've got copies of letters that they send a reminder basically saying, remember, we're on the page 3 or 4 of the form 540, line X for your donation. Okay. Now, I don't know who our donors are. That's protected information. That's a right to privacy information. I'm just throwing spaghetti against the wall. I could do a mass advertising. I haven't got a clue who I reached. Okay. I don't have a black box on my TV that basically tracked what shows I was watching, and you know, there's a indicator of that. So it's just basically word of mouth.
What does a donor say? I want to make a contribution on my tax fund. What do I ask?
So you tell it. Do you do it yourself, or you use a preparer?
I go to those guys.
Okay, then you go in and you take. We have a little card, it's a postcard that says voluntary CSL, voluntary contribution. And it tells you where to go on the form 540 and make your donation. If you don't have the card, you just tell them, I'd like to make a donation
on page 3 or 4 to code 438.
I know, we're going to be like, it'll be a challenge for us to find this based on what the software is.
But we will and all that is on that page 3 or 4, it lists every organization participating under the voluntary contribution system. Now, the 540 refers to as a special donation rather than voluntary contribution. Just tell them you want to do it to code 438 on page 3 or 4. Okay, that'll cut through all that. What are you talking about? All that kind of stuff. Just go to the page 3 or 4 of the form 540. And the little postcard that I referred to has a copy of that page 3 or 4. And in the middle of it, code 438. It's a replica of what you see on that specific page.
Yeah. Where do you get
the postcards? I try to distribute them each year.
You'll be at the senior summit.
Yeah.
Okay. It's over 27.
Okay, I'll grab
it. Oh, it's going to happen.
I'm going to make every effort to.
I'll take a supply.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I will too.
That'd be great.
And I'll write one of those articles.
Well, and the other thing too is like, as you're talking about all of this in CSL, if without going ahead of the agenda or anything, but start giving some consideration to the purpose and functions of this committee in terms of next year and its relationship. If you are determined to break that table, I know you are.
I'm just kind of turning into an architectural thing.
You just can't touch it. It's open.
Yeah.
It's not
a problem.
But start thinking ahead in terms of the focus of this committee as it will no longer exist as a committee, but will wrap into SCAC. Because the issues are still important, the issues are still relevant, and it's something that we're not saying, okay, this is nothing, we're just not going to bother with this. There are, start as a group thinking about where does this fit into the full SCAC picture in the future, and what kind of discussions, does it want to be more focused on legislation, which I think it was at one point, and then it got but to senior citizens engagement. I don't know how that was before my time, so I don't know how that transition happened, and then, perhaps talk about if you're going to focus on certain things, what ad hoc committees, who's going to help, what are we going to push, and what's the viable outcome at the end of the year, So
start if thinking. We do that, Pauline, will you be there for it?
Absolutely.
Well, that makes all the difference in the world, because otherwise we're just...
Help. Yes.
And just some history for you. So, yes, for years, it was the legislative committee.
Right.
And we walked a very specific line we did not cross. Our focus was on state legislation. And all we did was we were making people aware and trying to get that information out. If anyone was inspired, and they were advocating on their own, as a private citizen.
Right, and you have to keep that in mind, because the county does have its own state and federal legislative platform, that we go through every year. All the bills come up, and Peter DeMarco's office puts a whole slate in front of, the board for their, say, this is what the county wants to do, and this is what we think, these bills would support the county in various ways. So, I would tend to think that there should be a little bit more focus maybe on bills that are senior related. But Peter is not going to know that unless we have kind of the support of this committee and SCAC saying this is important. Is there any chance we can get this bill, on the county's, legislative platform going forward?
Well, for example, if the Brown Act bill that we're proposing, keep melding bill and proposal, if the Brown Act proposal that we are proposing makes and it's picked up, that has an impact on the county.
Then you got to let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to let us
okay,
know.
And then, then there's some figuring. So what is that? Call in here to go on the side. Here it is, or do we write a formal letter, or you know, what's the awareness?
Yeah. Okay. So you bring it to go through the process, like you bring it through like the executive committee of SCAC and say, "This is we've got a state legislature that is willing to sponsor this bill. This is what it does." The executive committee will say, "You know, this is not a bad idea, or this is a terrible idea, whatever the case may be." Then they will take it. We'll bring it to SCAC and say, yes, this is what we want to do. Can we, what we'd like to do is to put this bill in front of the county to see if the county would be amenable to, you know, putting on its legislative platform for us. And then once that is done, then staff takes it from there.
And we've got somebody on the executive board.
But our executive, you do.
Was the officers selected?
November meeting.
And then maybe the other aspect of this committee, should it continue, would be to take that bylaw provision that talks about CSL working with, you know, whomever in terms of an annual meeting to share information about the seniors and get input in terms of, and we would carry back, I would assume, to the executive board that says, you know, or you were there, executive board members, you heard it as well. This was the feedback. And that's, I think, what they're trying to do this time. Okay. So allegedly, at least we're at the table because it's in the bylaws. We may not be in the driver's seat, but at least we're at the table.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions with regards to the CSL?
I will be fine.
Okay. I'm going to ask Pauline to talk about the bylaws. I'm going to jump over that for just a second and say, you got my legislative tracking information through the two reports, so there's nothing more to share with you in regards to that. So our focus now for the remaining time we have is with Pauline on the bylaws.
So you were, most of you were all there, so you all know what happened. So where that stands right now, we do have a set of draft bylaws that were approved with some amendments to them by the SCAC Council. The amendments were, I think one of the changes was to reduce the membership appointed by SCAC to the full council. Right now, they get to appoint 20 members. And there was a recommendation to cut that back to 10. That failed. So now it's left at 20. So the membership will stay the same at 40 members. There was a change in terms of the volunteer hours. So the wording will be something to the effect that in the bylaws that committee members may keep track of their volunteer hours and may report if necessary, if deemed appropriate, wording to that effect. The council has a new name. It is going to be the Orange County. Older Adults Advisory Commission. Orange County Older Adults Advisory Commission. And then there were some recommendations that were brought forth by Council Member Wheeler. Council Member Wheeler. And they did not get picked up by the council in terms of adding those recommendations to the bylaws. However, I thought it was a great suggestion to look at what Dave had put together in terms of identifying goals and objectives for SCAC as we move forward. Because he did have some really good suggestions. I think it was the consensus of the committee that if they felt it was more operational suggestions than it was something to be put into the bylaws. So where does it go from here? When I get back to my desk, it's on my desk to make all of those changes. It is going to go back to County Council to make sure that everything is copacetic. Then we will write up the agenda staff report, and then it will go to the Board of Supervisors, probably on consent calendar for approval, which I'm anticipating will be January, February of next year. That's what I'm anticipating.
So the other change.
We don't have it happen until.
Oh, and yeah, and I'm sorry, the change of the boards.
Subcommittees.
The subcommittees. There will be no more subcommittees. Effective when the Board of Supervisors passes the new set of bylaws.
Committees are still in effect until then.
The committees are technically, yes, still in effect until then.
Okay.
So, and that's why I was saying, you know, if you are going to meet going forward, start thinking about the future and start thinking about where, you know, what you guys have been doing and how you want to kind of encompass that into the big picture. I think that's about it. Big change, membership, committees. There was one more. I know I'm forgetting it. I'll think about it. Specific change that I wanted to make. Oh, it was, no, I got it. It was the volunteer hours. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, well, the ad hoc. I don't know if that was.
Well, the ad hocs were added. Like, it wasn't added. It's always there. We have committees. Like, we can establish an ad, or the council can establish an ad hoc committee to address a specific issue going forward, which is easier than having a standard subcommittee meeting, because it's for one specific issue that it'll have a beginning and it'll have an end. You're done. You know. By the
if you call me.
Well,
that's
for me?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with it?
Well, that's the tab. And I think it's your office.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got you. I got you.
Okay.
I got you. I got you. Yeah. Okay. When you said that earlier, I thought you were referring to Elizabeth. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, she's served on tech.
On tech, yes.
Why this put the information?
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Who's our tech representative?
I don't think we have, I think it was Elizabeth. So
let's say the bylaws are approved.
Yes.
In January.
Mm-hmm.
There are no more subcommittees. How does this committee continue then?
Well, November is the last meeting for everyone. It's entirely up to you guys. It's up to, quite frankly, the chair. To see if you guys want to continue meeting until the board adopts the bylaws. You know, I'm thinking you're dark in December. You have a meeting in November, and then possibly have one in January as well. So it's entirely up to you guys if there are issues that you want to discuss, and it's worth your while coming up here and having a discussion on them, then yes, let's go ahead and, you know, because we want to be cognizant of everyone's time. So maybe use those meetings to, you know, talk about how you move forward.
So are we meeting as an official body or an unofficial body?
You would meet as an official body. If you're going to meet, you have to. If it's going to be a meeting of the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee, we're subject to the Brown Act.
Right. That's where I was going.
Even with the new bylaws, that can still be done.
That would
be
can
still be made officially.
No.
Be done then.
With the new bylaws, there would be no more, there would not be a subcommittee of the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee. That would be the same as Housing and Transportation and Well-Being. However, that being said, the issues that come before each of those committees, like housing and transportation, health and well-being, legislation, it looks like more here, they can still be incorporated by going through the chair and the vice chair and saying, hey, you know what? I'd like us to talk about when we talk about our goals and objectives for 2024, I really would like us to talk about legislation and how this commit how this council as a whole, SCAC, can have an impact on legislation going forward, you know, or how we would like to address that, or how we'd like to sponsor it, or what's the process if we feel, and then bring it, have a big discussion in front of the whole council, so council can have.
Would you investigate, Pauline, the construction of an informal body of volunteers? There are no minutes. There is no agenda. There is no voting. We're here to learn and discuss informally outside of the SCAC, whatever it's called, outside the OC Older Adults Advisory Committee format. I've seen that be authorized as long as you're not, I'm not even sure you could be there. Okay.
Be able to.
So that's another avenue. I've seen that done.
I mean, there is nothing to my knowledge that prevents each of you meeting informally at Denny's or Starbucks or.
That doesn't.
Well, we do it by Zoom.
Brown Act. I thought we weren't
supposed to. Yeah, I was going to say the Brown Act.
We would do it well, ideally, we would be meeting at a physical location. The idea is to do it by Zoom.
But here's the thing with that. In terms of the Brown Act, you can't meet as a governing body without being able to comply or having to comply with the Brown Act. That means you have to have an agenda, you have to have people present. But each of you individually, as your own thing, I mean, you participate, some of you may participate in Rotary, some of you may participate in, you know, God only knows what other groups are out there. You're free to do that. But anything you do outside will not impact the council as a whole. It can't.
Well, that's not what Mary Ann throughout was, again, we're not an authorized organization. We're not recognized. We're stepping outside of the county senior older adults advisory committee format, and you're meeting without an agenda, without minutes, and you're discussing items, but you're not voting on anything, so there's no recommendations per se. And then somebody says, I'm going to go attend the executive board meeting and say the ABC committee, caucus, group, met, and these were some ideas that were shared. Where are we going with that? What would you considering that?
I would consider bringing it to council to say, can we do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a lawyer, so I mean, I would definitely want to have council input on doing that.
So the Brown Act specifically, right, says you're an official body meeting to make a decision. Now, what LA basically was able to come up with is, yeah, we're an official body, we're meeting, but we don't impact legislation. Nothing's coming out of that has a direct effect on legislation. So
I know there's something doesn't quite sit right with me on that one. It's almost like you're circumventing the process.
Yeah. How about the ongoing, there's going to be such a thing, and that subcommittee on legislation? This is really important stuff, and there's a lot of
that. I can see that.
And there's a lot for the members here, us, to learn in order that we can get out there and promote it. You know, this is the first I heard of the postcards and things like, you know, I'll get out there.
Yeah, but you're hearing it in terms of CSL. You're not hearing it in terms of SCAC. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a difference.
But we're at this meeting.
And the presentation was to talk about CSL and talk about what that organization does in terms of supporting seniors at the legislative level.
As members of
Yes, we're here as members of SCAC to listen to that presentation. Now, if you want to go and join CSL, you know, you're more than welcome to do so. You know, but SCAC as this body stands would not be able to do anything on this unless there's a recommendation from this committee to go to the executive committee to then go to SCAC General to say, hey, AB 559 is not chapter now, but hey, pick a bill, AB 123. We think this is important. We think it's something that SCAC might want to, you know, as a governing body, do a letter of support for this legislation. And then it would go through the whole process here at the county. That's what the subcommittee does. But what John is talking about is entirely different. John, I think Dave and Tony are both part of your organization, right?
Davis.
Davis, okay. So
And Elizabeth,
okay. So, I mean, I would want to speak with council on what you're suggesting, because I don't think council would be comfortable with it, but I will definitely check into it for you. I don't want to give any wrong information out, because, you know.
So in effect, it would be like meeting at Denny's.
Yeah.
Okay. In an informal atmosphere, except we'd be using Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And the Zoom would be provided by us, not the county.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't see how you can make this ad hoc piece work, in my opinion. Maybe somebody can clarify it for me, but I'm just trying to.
Well, I tell you, my understanding of an ad hoc committee is that it is established for the purpose of addressing one specific issue. Like we established one for the bylaws. There is a specific beginning and there's a specific end. And once the objective and goal of that ad hoc committee has been accomplished, the ad hoc committee goes away. So that's my understanding. It's more of an informal.
But if it was a senior citizen legislative ad hoc,
you would have to identify.
Come and go and then come and go.
Yeah, and you would have to identify what specific. Well, that and also what specific issues that this ad hoc committee has been formed to take on. What bills are you going to be looking at? You know, because
right.
You can't just do an ad hoc committee in general just to have, well, we want to review legislation. Well, when are you going to start
and
when are you going
to
end?
Do that concept, we're asking you to check in.
Yeah, right. And I'll check into it.
Yeah. So, there is, Claudia didn't come up through the county organization here. Claudia was in another AAA.
She was in San Bernardino.
So there is a the filters are kicking in. I'm trying to make this politically correct. So it's the county wants to make sure that they're aware of what any organization, and this one specifically, is proposing to support the legislation. So if we won't know what bills have been picked up until the middle of February at the earliest, good luck with that. It's probably March 1. Because they got to pull them all together, get them loaded into Ledge Info, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So then take the problem. We then sat down and said, well, you know, the Brown Act is clearly something we support. We would like to, then we get a meeting with the executive board. If it's timed right, we caught the executive board in March. If it's not, it's April that we caught the executive board. And then they vote on it, and then they generate something through the AAA. And then the AAA takes it up to Ledge, whomever. We may get something in by May, maybe. That's my timeline. Maybe the county is faster than that. That's a gauntlet process. The bill may have been done by the time the letter of support. It may get trapped in appropriation. It may get killed in something else.
So, John, so I understand it. What would your purpose be of like having all of these people here meet separately outside to like as individuals, for want of a better name? I mean, because you would not be meeting as a committee.
There's no way to share this. We don't have a vehicle to share this information now. In January, this committee's gone. This information isn't shared at the SCAC meetings. They don't want to hear it.
But it could be.
Yeah.
They took it out of there.
That's because this was here.
So I can make a statement about this at the information sharing, the round table piece, and have a handout. So but
I think the committee as a whole, I mean, SCAC as a whole needs to have that discussion as to what it's going to do for the next year. What are the goals and objectives going to be for SCAC for 2024?
I don't disagree with that at all. So what we're saying is, since we may not have this forum, the SCAC meeting in general is, I get 2 minutes.
Put yourself on the agenda.
That's the thing.
And
that's,
to have your time, maybe 10 minutes
yes.
or something.
Let me just make this point real quick, Ken, and it's all to you. So just a reminder, we did that at one time. Okay.
While we had this subcommittee.
What I mean by we did this at one time is, so there was a table at the back, and everybody that wanted their information shared, put it on the table. At one point in time, each subcommittee spoke to that in that 2 minute presentation piece, and the information was referred to. You can find all that on the back table. All that was done away with. So if we're going to go full circle again, we're ready to do that. I'm just saying at one point it was decided legislation doesn't have a place in the general SCAC meeting. Now that's my opinion. Okay. That the MPA, and rightly so, the MPA came about, and that will be our primary focus. So I'm just saying,
I can see the comment in terms of legislation doesn't have a place in SCAC. In terms of what the purpose and function of this committee is, if we're focused on Orange County, and we're focused on we being the AAA, on if there is the legislation, the county has a legislative platform. So we are keeping an eye on all kind of legislation that impacts the county as a whole, not just seniors, but as a whole. So if we have, my thought was when the three committees, subcommittees were done away with, it was to enable the discussion for those committees to be much broader and receive more input from the SCAC.
It was intended to align itself with the MPA. That was what the old committees were done away with. It was more to align, again, with the MPA and the goals. So that's my spin.
Okay.
Now, number two, if the county's got a legislative platform, have anybody heard of it? It's never been presented here. There's got to be legislation at the county level that impacts.
There is.
And impact seniors.
Well, I'm not sure. That's the thing. I got to look at their platform.
Well, and we sat here now for how long? And I feel like there's still more to know. And our idea is to get this information out to our seniors. And that's not going to happen at the big meeting. It's still not enough. Because we are thinking about how we can do this and what you have to help us and all these kind of good things. This is a heavy duty subject. This is not,
but
one presentation for 20 minutes.
No, and that's why I'm saying, Marianne, it's something that needs to be, if you guys feel passionate about this enough, when, if and when the bylaws get passed, and we start off, okay, we have SCAC. Whoever's going to be the chair at the time, I don't know who will be, assuming it might be Meredith. I don't know when the, if you go chair, vice chair, and the rank, I don't know. But whoever it's going to be, you talk about your goals and objectives and what you want to do. And if legislation is one of them, then you come out up with a work plan. And also keeping in mind, if it's A, aligns with the MPA, B, if it's within your purview, you know, and C, if it's going to impact the county. There's a process that has to be followed. Right, wrong, good, bad, or indifferent, whether you like it or not. There is a process, especially when it comes to legislation.
It's not short. I'm not saying it is one presentation.
No, but keep in mind, SCAC meets 10 times a year. You have 10 meetings a year. So if you pick specific goals and objectives that you want to work on, they will be throughout the year. That's what I would tend to think. And there would be an ad hoc established, or there would be something that, okay, who's going to do the work on this? Who's going to do the research? Who's going to do this, that, and the other? There's got to be a game plan in place.
So here's my two cents, Pauline. You have the state organization that represents seniors and deals with legislation in your midst. Okay? In your midst. And yet, I can't find a connection between what we're doing here and the whether, yes, it's state, but it impacts the county as well. This is I've seen the CSL role grow again recently in the last 6 months, maybe a year. And so we're back to bringing CSL into the process. But I think what we would also, if this group were to continue and have a legislative focus, we'd want to know, so what's the counties?
Right.
But what legislation are, so I've got a list of 50 bills that allegedly impact seniors across the state. Are you involved with any of them? As a county organization, or have you got another agenda that I'm not aware of? And it's an example of what you've already referenced earlier is the larger issue about senior issues. And, well, it looks like that's the first one to go when it gets to the governor's desk or that kind of, and yet, allegedly, we're only growing in size.
Okay. Great conversation. Great discussion.
Well, I just was thinking that the other two subcommittees are probably having a very similar discussion we're having about this. And I was kind of imagining that at the meetings going forward that we would maybe rotate and we would each get the opportunity to host that meeting and we could talk about what issues. But then the benefit is, because we're supposed to be communicating this out to the community, the whole group hears it, like what we heard today. There would have been, you know, everybody would have heard about the tax issue and all that thing. So I don't think it's going to get lost. I just think maybe we're going to have to, we won't be able to give more thought to the agenda. And we won't have as many, it won't be a monthly thing. Well, every third meeting we'll have our, I mean, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do this.
So can you ask me earlier on, so how is my organizational mission communicated out there? So we provide talking points to each each CSL member who is the AAA representative. That's basically
you're saying office. I mean, what do you mean by AAA?
The AAA. Okay, so the Office on Aging is the area agency for aging.
Okay.
For each county has. Area Agency on Aging. Okay, so the Office on Aging, the Board of Supervisors has been, like, we're established as the Area Agency on Aging for Orange County. Each county has, there are, I think, 57, 58.
Yeah, so I guess my point was, I was thinking, you know, if we're going to communicate what we're doing, SCAC, or, excuse me, as the
Orange County.
Yeah.
Orange County over.
Yeah. Everybody's going to bring their own take on it. You need to, if you want a coordinated mission, a statement, you need something that basically says, so let's all agree, at least we're going to talk about this. Not, so if I go out and I'm unprepared, so what am I going to migrate? I'm going to migrate right to CSL and say, hey, by the way, the thing I know the most about is CSL. I'll tell you what, I don't have it. Maybe not directly related to the county, but to me, you have something that ensures at least everybody's attempting to go in the same direction rather than, well, my pet peeve is this. May not have anything to do with what the vision for
STACK
is.
I think that's where each individual member takes their own lead and says, you know what, there are issues out there that are affecting seniors that I think would be beneficial to SCAC to discuss or to see if we can impact in some way, shape, or form. So that means John or Ken or, you know, whomever says, okay, Pauline, we would like to put an item on the agenda for the next meeting. And here's my report that I have typed up. And you explain your case. You literally explain your case. Say, this is what I'd like to bring. It will come to me. It will go out to the membership with the agenda. So they have an opportunity to review it. And then when you come to the meeting, you talk about it. Actually, it will come to me. It will go to Jean and or whoever the chair or vice chair is at the time, you know, and they'll say, okay, because my process is when we go to do the agenda, I'll go, okay, here's a draft agenda based on what was discussed at the last meeting for SCAC. Jean and Meredith, do you guys have anything that you wish to add to that? Now, at that point, they should be aware, the chair and vice chair, of issues that say, hey, I would really like to add that to the agenda. Jean, Meredith, or whomever, is that good? Can we add something to the next agenda? If I can be okay for them to do that, then it goes on the agenda or to the executive committee.
That's a huge leap from where we're at to what you've just described.
It's a process.
Yeah.
It's a grand process. I'm just saying that is a huge leap from where we are today. If we get there, that's wonderful. Okay, but I hope nobody's expecting that, you know, the switch is tripped and all of a sudden.
No, but
that is a huge leap.
To be honest with you, I think there's been some perception that the Office on Aging is the conduit for establishing the agenda, for putting things out there, for coming up with this and what coming. And that's not the role of the Office on Aging at all. The Office on Aging is here to support you guys in what you guys want to do. We're not taking the lead on it. So if the committee members have something that they want to discuss, then it's up to each committee member to go through the process and make your case and get it done.
So my comment is, it always follows the path of least resistance. We got to what you're just describing because of the one was basically pushing back and saying, you guys need to be doing that, not us, kind of thing. So anyway, well, I think if we could just get a vision at some point that says, this is what it will look like. At some point, this is when it's firing in all eight cylinders. And this is how we get there. I think you got a winner. You just basically throw it out there and say, okay, the expectation is, you know, you're going to do blah, blah, blah.
We want these meetings to be as productive as possible. I mean, honestly, because none of us has the time to sit around and go through this time and time and time and time again. So there has to be some sort of a plan that is.
It's probably agenda for next month's meeting, maybe. How we're going to move forward. No, for the overall meeting.
For SCAC and
Jeff. Once these committees are no longer in place, how we're going to address the issues that all three of them are currently working on. I mean, that's probably.
I'm going to tell you that I don't know. I'm interested and I feel like there's more. Let me tell you how many yawns. Too many presentations that the legislature are going to get, I think. It's probably better that we talk it out, which is why it was a good idea to subcommittee. and pin it down of what can be presented to let them take it out to the senior centers. I'll tell you right now that we wouldn't be talking about this or having all this trouble if people were really interested. Really. And when I went to get my political science master, let me tell you how many women were. One, sometimes two.
Yeah.
So they don't want to. My feeling is this would have to be on the agenda 3 or 4 times. And they would have that.
I presented at the senior centers. It was a small, they'd show up and then it just sort of didn't.
Now, if you were giving out your postcards, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
And I'm a former reporter. I'll boil it down to try and make it sound like this is fine. And they'll give it 5 minutes. But this is a subject that takes much.
It does. And it's going to be conveyed in a way. It's like, because everyone's going to think, what's in it for me?
Well,
why should I?
But they don't see.
Well,
even though
I think a lot of people do, but it affects their pocketbook.
Well, yes, but
you know,
but it takes some doing.
It does. It's words are cheap, as they say. So it does. But
well,
I think
the decision has been made. I mean, both of these committees.
Right.
So when Pauline is offering this, look, let's don't drift away.
Right.
Let's don't disappear. So
I honestly don't think in the discussions on the bylaws, the ad hoc committee level, that is not the intent. It's not the intent. It's just a question of coming up with a vehicle as to how you more efficiently and more effectively address these subjects.
So has there been another subcommittee meeting since we had our, wasn't there somebody meeting for the next day? After, are we the first meeting?
No, you guys are. You're the first meeting.
Thank
you.
Okay.
You attend all of them?
I do.
Oh, I'm wondering I'm just curious what they're going to, probably going to be talking about this same issue and how, what their thoughts are about how their issue is going to continue forward without the committee.
Yeah.
So maybe a food for thought is where the committee members get 2 minutes, maybe put those line items in and whoever can talk about it for maybe 10 minutes each.
Were the really big on top two items that we're concerned?
Well, there's
prioritize.
You know, when you look at any agenda, there's items for discussion that allows for this type of discussion. And then there's items for action. So again, it comes back to what I was saying to John. If there are people willing to take the lead on this and say, okay, we want to discuss it, but we also want an action taken by the full council, then make your case. Make your case. Get the information to the executive committee, get it to me so we can get it on the agenda. And it says, this bill is coming up. We think it's going to impact Orange County. Here's the pros, here's the cons, here's the recommendation. You know, and then at that point, it's, the committee has made the decision, doesn't say that the county is going to do it. It will come back then to our legislative people and say, hey, SCAC really has taken a position on this bill. Is this something that we can weave into the county's legislative plan? Yeah, always have to. And that being said, keep in mind, nothing prohibits you individually for supporting or opposing a bill or piece of legislation, as long as you do it by yourself and do not say on behalf of SCAP or on behalf of the county. Can I write that out?
If these three subcommittees are so important, would you give them 2 minutes? Or would you give them a lot more than 2 minutes to summarize what's been going on that particular committee?
Don, I could give you as much time as you need.
Yeah,
I know, and that's why I think Crystal made the exact
and it's the last thing in the agenda.
I think exactly. And that's why Crystal made the same comment. She said, we come to all of these meetings. She chairs the Housing and Transportation Committee. I said, I have 2 minutes to report out on something that really could have, the whole committee would have benefited from, you know, had they heard it.
Maybe that can be put from the bottom to the top.
Yeah, I mean, the whole agenda.
I'm just saying.
The whole agenda is probably going to change. The layout of the agenda is going to change. The goal is, like, be prepared to stay probably longer at these meetings, at these SCAC meetings. It's not going to be show up, you do the pledge, we do the invocation, we have a presentation, anything else anyone wants to, and then leave. If you're dead serious about what you, be careful what you wish for, because if you're looking for this, be prepared. You know, so we're, I think this is a good discussion to have. I've got some info and some research that I need to do with council, and then, you know, the chairs and vice chairs, and see how this is all going to be laid out come January or February, whenever it gets.
Whenever it gets approved, because technically you've got to keep everything the same way.
Yeah.
I think whoever's going to be the chair has got a challenge to try and move from. So there was this subcommittee process, and our entire meeting focus was on a presentation.
Right. Yeah.
To, you know, there needs to be some constructive stuff come out of this, rather than that was a great presentation.
Exactly.
Plans and ways to get it out to your seniors. Because we're running into people who don't know what to do, how to get it out there, what kinds of things are open to us.
And also to make committee members feel like they're doing something, they have a purpose here, you know.
Well, there are all kinds of people at committee meetings, okay?
Yes.
We're all volunteers.
Yes.
So we bring a wide range of interest and energy to that process. So,
are you going to adjourn the meeting?
No, I'm going to leave. Meeting is adjourned, okay?
Thank you.